As you may have seen on the screen, I have entitled the presentation this morning as Poverty or Prosperity, It is Your Choice. And I'm going to talk about stewardship. Actually, I was working in the stewardship department in a Trans-Pacific Union. That was before I was diagnosed with cancer, and then I applied for early sustentation so that I could come here for my treatment. And for some of you who were here this morning during Sabbath school, you know, stewardship is your lifestyle, especially when you accept Christ as the Lord of your life, and then we walk in partnership with Him. And then you can claim all the promises, all the privileges that Christ said it would be yours in your personal, intimate, strong relationship with God. You have the right to claim those promises. And then in the process, while I was having cancer, for those of you who were not here, and then one time, in my personal relationship with God, that's a very key essence of stewardship. It is your personal relationship with God. When God comes for the second time, He doesn't want to ask you, how did you keep my Sabbath? How did you refrain from eating those things that you ought not to eat? You know, it will always only depends on your personal walk and journey with God. Whether you were faithful, whether you were honest as His steward, because the Bible makes it very clear, God expects every steward to be faithful. And that's why from the pen of inspiration, Mrs. White says, when there is poverty in the church, God is dishonored. Simply means if we are unfaithful in paying our tithe and our offering, God is dishonored. If there is poverty in the church, because of our dishonesty, of our unfaithfulness, if not paying our tithe. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health. Deuteronomy 8:18, God gives each one of us the power to become wealthy. That's God's plan right from the very beginning. That's God's intention right from the very beginning for you, for His church to be prosperous in the sense that we have to help finishing the task that He has assigned to the church in Revelation 14. And that's why Mrs. White says, you know, if there is poverty in the church, we dishonor God. But at the same time, if we are faithful to God, according to scripture reading, He will open up the window of heaven, and then He will shower blessings. Time will come that we won't have enough room to accommodate all those blessings. Do you believe that, church? Yeah, that's what God says. And so when you're in partnership with God, you are in partnership with God, the Master, the God who overrules, God who is in control of everything. That's the same God that you're in partnership with, the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God, the God who says, peace be still, and the wind and the waves obey His will. The God who says, your sins are forgiven, go and sin no more. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and will always be the same till He comes for the second time. He is the God who is the Master. He is the one who enthroned kings simultaneously. He is the one that dethrones kings because He's in control. I believe God, it's God's will for our president to be the current president for the United States. Regardless, the Bible tells us that every leader is divinely appointed or chosen by God. He is in control. He overrules everything. That's a God that we are in partnership with. The God Master, and we are His servant. He is the God Shepherd. You know, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And David says, I was young. Now I am old. I have not seen or witnessed a child of God who has been begging for bread. Because God the shepherd always takes care of His sheep. When David says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me through the still waters. God cares. Feed. Water is there. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Who can stand against God when God is for us? And his name is Emmanuel. Simply means he is your protector. He is your provider. He is your guide. Lastly, he is your source of blessings. And what a privilege to be in partnership with God. And that's the core essence of stewardship. It is our personal relationship with God. Stewardship doesn't capitalize on tithe, on offerings, or fundraising. They are only elements of stewardship. But the very core essence of stewardship, it is your personal relationship with God. Our faithfulness, our honesty, receiving God's blessing every day, walking in partnership with him. And then when you walk in partnership with him, you can almost say, why not? You can almost say, come what may. The Lord will take care of the problems that we have. I told you already, I was having cancer while I was working in the union. And then I asked, in my personal relationship with God, my understanding of God, I said, Lord, you just said, tell me, very simply, just tell me what the future holds for me. Am I going to live on and continue serving you? Or it's enough for me to rest? You just tell me, and I'm ready to accept whatever. Because he's a God master. How can you argue with God after knowing that he's in control? All you have to do is the potter and the clay, just leave your life completely in his hand. And then I said, Lord, just speak to me. You just tell me. I want you to respond to me, and I'm prepared to accept whatever. Spirit of prophecy says, when we surrender our lives to God, there's a time God will intervene, acting miracles on your behalf and my behalf. And I claimed the promise. And so I said, Lord, I'm going to open my Bible randomly. Whichever chapter, whichever text or verse that my eyes will cast upon, I'll take it for granted that is your response, that is your answer to my prayers. Church members, I just opened my Bible like this, and my eyes cast it on Psalm 118. And I start reading, it came down to verse 17, and my eyes got stuck in this verse. It says, I shall not die, but live to testify what God has done. Man, I could not believe. That very moment, I could not believe. When God talked to me like that, I got on my computer. I sent a message to my son who was here. And I said, Raymond, go to Psalm 118 and read verse 17. God has spoken to me today. He has answered my prayers. I am not going to die. And here I am today. And I heard his voice. He said, you know, after the operation, after the treatment, hop on and move forward. And the invitation had been coming from different churches. I was happy this morning that my brother Joshua just told me, you know, we are going to invite you to come to my church and run a program like this, stewardship. So stewardship simply means it's your lifestyle. And you know that your lifestyle and my lifestyle, it is the most effective tool for evangelism. Your lifestyle, when Jesus said, if I would be lifted up through your lifestyle, if I would be lifted up, then it's me that you will draw what? All men to me. The most effective and the less expensive tool for evangelism, it is you, it is me, our lifestyle, especially the dynamic that takes place when we accept Christ and walk in partnership with him. He's the God master. He's in control. He overrules everything. Not only that, he's also the God shepherd, the God owner. The God owner, silver and gold are mine. The world and its fullness, it's mine. That's what Christ said. Silver is mine, gold is mine. And then he just said, ask anything in my name and I shall do it. I remember a student at Fulton. This was told by one of the staff members. Fulton is a theological missionary school in the Pacific in Fiji. And a student, very bright student coming from the village. And then time came that those who failed to pay their school fees, they were sent home before the final examination. And so he was told that day to he's going to go back tomorrow to his village. He has contacted his father. He has contacted all his uncles and his friends. Look, I'm going to graduate this year. I have brought my study to its completion, but I won't be able to graduate because I have not been able to pay for the full tuition. And the father said, sorry, son, I won't be able to. They just end their living by selling all their garden products. And I won't be able to pay up the 2,000. That was far too much for the father to pay. And the teacher who told the story, he told the student, he said, lock yourself in the room and keep praying. Keep praying and see what the Lord will do. And I assure you, somehow in his own way, God will intervene. And this student obeyed and he locked himself in the room for the whole day. He was due to leave the next day going back home. And then he was praying and he was praying and he was praying, a very bright student, a theology student. The next day, the principal called him to the office. And then he was, man, this is a day of judgment. He's telling me to pack up and go home. But that was not the story. When he went inside, the principal said, do you know what? I have a good news for you. I was sleeping last night, but my wife was not able to sleep. As if she was on a turbulent sea like this. She could not sleep, and she woke me up. The principal said, my wife woke me up early in the morning or midnight. And then he said, darling, I can't sleep. I have been thinking of this student in the dorm going back home tomorrow. And he's a very bright student. And then she said, darling, why can't we help him? Why don't we help him? You know, we have enough money. We can pay off his tuition and allow him to walk and receive his diploma in the graduation service. And he did. That's what stewardship is all about. It's your personal relationship. It's your intimate, vibrant, faithful, honest relationship with God. God never fails. God never fails. In the lifestyle, we talk about this morning before I go to stewardship, to tithe. In the lifestyle, a steward has the joy and the power to live from day to day. Church members, regardless of what situation, regardless what circumstances that we encounter every day, the life of a steward in your personal relationship with God, you still have the power and the joy to live regardless. The reason is that you can claim his promises. You know, call upon me in days of trouble. I shall deliver thee. And then you shall testify of me. Yeah, there are certain times that God allows us to encounter adversity. Adversity can be your blessing in disguise. Do you know that? Sometimes adversities are our blessings in disguise. Because adversities can help you, can drive you to have a more deeper relationship with God. Not only that, sometimes adversity, you know, people are blessed when they look at you, how you handle your adversities and your problem. The faith, the perseverance that you have when you encounter perseverance, because you look beyond the problems, you can see hope when you have your relationship with Christ, isn't it? That's a privilege of being in partnership with Christ. Not only that, you have the power and the joy to submit. Mrs. White says that's our duty. Every morning when we wake up, you just put your lives in the Lord's hand, submit your life in the Lord's hand, asking for his direction, asking for his plan. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has a plan for each one of us. You understand, God will not force you. Unless God is just waiting for you to submit yourself to him, and then he will lead and guide you. And so it's a life of submission every day. He has the joy and the power to give. You know, the more you give, the more we want. The more we receive. Church members, oftentimes, sad to say, oftentimes we operate on the subtraction principle. And I don't blame you because I sometimes operate on the subtraction principle. That's why sometimes I'm not faithful in paying my tithe or paying my offering because I think of my children's education, the bread on the table, etc., etc. We operate on subtraction principle. But God operates on the opposite, on the multiplication principle. The more we give, the more we receive. You know, I talk from experience. While I was having cancer, I wasn't able to pay up for my daughter's fees in the university. She's a law student. And then I put God into a test. And I said, Lord, please help me. I'm a cancer patient. You know, I knew that he will hear. I knew that he will answer my prayers. Please provide a means so that I would be able to pay off for my daughter's education. And he gave me a little business. He gave me a little business. When I started off small, you know, getting 1,000, 2,000. And man, this is great. 2,000. But you know, when you're in partnership with God, God will keep multiplying. Even it came to a time, you know, God gave 10,000, 16,000. Every time I pay a visit to Fiji to sell those stuff, God, and even this Wednesday, I must testify. This last Wednesday, I went to the place where I used to buy the stuff to sell. Man, and the lady that came in the store, she was pulling the cart full of good stuff, new stuff. That's the very stuff that I needed, that I know my customers needed. They were all packed in this cart. And then slowly, I filled up two carts. And while I was filling up, I was telling Danny, while I was filling up, I just say, Lord, you're just doing this for me. You just provided this for me. And I just want to thank you. Being in partnership with God, God cares for you. And God cares for me. And that's why Spirit of Prophecy say, if there is poverty in the church, you know, if there is poverty in the church, that's a result of our lack of faith and our unfaithfulness. So what stewardship is all about? Stewardship is all about our personal relationship with God. And then if God says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. Like what I was telling before, it is God's plan for his church to be prosperous. That's why Mrs. White says, God wants or needs his church to be the head in everything while we operate here on earth. To be the head but not the tail. Because that is one of the privileges of being in partnership with God. And then church member asks, how can I become prosperous? You know, God has made provision for that. God has made provision so that we can be resilient to poverty. And that is through tithe and offering. And God says, if you are faithful to me in tithe and offering, this is the only tool that God employs in our relationship. If you are faithful to me, you can prove. There was a guy in Tonga while I was presenting this, and he came after one meeting, and then he said, I want you to use this little phrase. You'll never, never know if you never, never go. Which simply means when God says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, you won't be able to prove until you taste, until you experience, until you move forward in faith, isn't it? You'll never, never know if you never, never go. Also, that's what stewardship is all about. Our tithe. We understand tithe. You know, just one-tenth. Very specific from the Bible. It's just one-tenth of what we possess, what we have. But before we go into that, the fundamental principle of stewardship is this. We ought to remember and understand and accept the fact that God is the creator. He is the sovereign owner. God is the sovereign owner. And you know, that's why he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil right in the middle of the garden. He was putting limitation. He was putting the boundary so that Adam and Eve knows that they have limitation. They have a boundary. You can please yourself with the rest, but don't touch the one in the middle. It's just to remind them that God is the sovereign owner. And because of that, and he created man. And then number two, man is his creatures. We are his creatures. And then we are only caretakers. We just look after what. That's why the Bible says that we come naked. Job said we come naked. Likewise, we shall return naked. We brought nothing. And so we should be appreciative of what we have. It's all God's gift to us. And then number three, God and man are partners. And that's the challenge. If we are faithful in our partnership relationship with God, you never, never know if you never, never go. If we are faithful, you know, and I'm talking from experience, and I believe that almost, if not all of us, have experienced the principle that I'm sharing with you, this morning with regards to tithe. We understand that tithe is the tenth of everything. And this is just an example there. If you have 10 yams, you might not know what yams is. If you have 10 bread, one-tenth is one. Or if you have 200, then one-tenth is 20. So we understand very simple mathematics, right? But Leviticus 27:30 says, all the tithe of the land, the fruit of the trees, is the Lord. This includes animals. Therefore, the tithe belongs to God. Whatever belongs to God, it is holy. It is holy. And Pen of Inspiration said, Mrs. White used the right label by calling the Sabbath holy, and also she labeled the tithe with the same label of the Sabbath, that the tithe is holy, simply because they both belong to God. The tithe is holy. So, some of the church members, they ask, because it is my tithe, I have the privilege, I have the freedom to give my tithe to any of the ministers that visit my church. Is it right or wrong? It's wrong. God says, bring the tithe and the offering to my treasury. It's mine. We have not even given God anything when we give our tithe. We are just returning what belongs to God. You begin to give something to God when you give your offering. In the tithe, we are just returning because it belongs to God. We are just returning to God. Okay, yeah, that's what I meant. Mrs. White used the Sabbath to illustrate the nature of tithe. For like the Sabbath, the tenth of the increase is sacred, referring to the tithe. The same language is used concerning the Sabbath as in the law of the tithe. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In like manner, a tithe of our income is holy unto the Lord. So we have to ask the question, you know, especially business people. Do you know what Pen of Inspiration said? There is enough money. God has equipped his church members with enough money. If only everyone is faithful, his treasury will be full. And time will come that we will repeat what Moses was doing in the wilderness, that Moses will stand up and say, church members, stop bringing offering and tithe. Our treasury is full. Have we had that experience here in the church? No, not yet. Eh? So, do we have to give from our cross or from the net? I'm sorry, church members, whether you like it or not, if you are annoyed with my presentation, you know, God's word is an absolute. And then I have just to tell what God has put in my mouth to share with you. From what is the tithe calculated on? Moses writes, you shall tithe all the yield of the land. Solomon says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Therefore, the tithe is calculated from the cross, but not on the net. When you tithe cross, it simply means God is first. But if you take away all your needs and all your wants, and then out of the rest left over, then you tithe, that means you are still first. You are still the Lord of your life, because you pay off what you want, what you need, rather than paying off and following God's instruction. It is from the cross. Of all your income, we should make the first appropriation to God. We are not to consecrate to him what remain of our income after our real or imaginary wants are satisfied. But before any portion is consumed, we should set apart which God specified as his. Don't forget, he said, if you are faithful, I will open the what? The window of heaven. That's why he said, God's intention, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, simply means if you are faithful to me, God never fails. God's hands are not shortened. He will always fulfill his promises. Business. In business, the tithe is calculated on the profit. Yeah, right. That is the total sale minus the capital, right? Your working capital, then whatever your profit is, then you just tithe your profit. You must deduct your working capital first. That is very simple. What is the tithe used for? We understand the tithe belongs to God. It is holy. The Bible makes it very clear. That's one good thing about our religion, that everything that we believe is based on God's word, right? It's always based on God's word. Spirit of prophecy, even the Bible says the first tithe was basically, you know, when the Levites, when they were, all the 12 tribes, when they were journeying in the wilderness from one place to another place. And so the tribe of the Levites, they were set aside to work as the minister, as the priests. So they did not have any inheritance. They were not given any portion of when they entered the promised land. And God instructed Moses, you know, they are share of the inheritance. You people bring all your tithe, and that's their inheritance. That's how they earn their living, the ministers, the priests. Similarly, we still apply the same principle nowadays. You know, the ministers, they earn their wages from your tithe. But remember, it's not your tithe, it's God's tithe. It's God's portion of your wages. And so, in the New Testament, Paul says, those preach the gospel should live off the gospel. So, specifically, this is the only one use of our tithe, is to pay for the wages of the ministers. And that's why some of the ministers are laid off, because the church could not pay. So you should feel pity on the ministers, on those who want to work as ministers, work for the church, but they aren't able to work because there's not enough money to pay. And after all, Penos Inspiration and Mrs. White says, there is enough money in the church. And then she went on by said, if only the rich classes, the rich people, if only they are faithful, like the lower classes, the poor people, which simply Mrs. White said, oh, the poor people, they are the faithful one. They are the one that pay tithe. And Mrs. White says, remember, she was inspired by the Spirit. If only the rich people are faithful like the poor congregation, there will be more than enough finance in God's church, in God's treasury. So God depends on us. But don't forget, the more you give, heaven principle will still apply, multiplication principle, the more we give, the more we receive. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have experienced what I'm sharing with you. And so, that's Ellen White supporting, support the Levites, support the work of the ministry. So, remember, the spirit of prophecy is the little light, not that leads us to the bigger light with the Bible. So, spirit of prophecy always support, always harmonize the Bible. The minister should, listen to this, the minister should by precept and example teach the people to regard the tithe as sacred. He should not feel that he can retain and apply it according to his own judgment because he is a minister. The minister, I have no right whatsoever to manipulate and use the tithe as I want. I have no right. There's only one use of tithe, that is, it goes to the wages of the ministers, of the priests. The portion that God has reserved for himself is not to be diverted to any other purpose than that which he has specified. Let none feel at liberty to retain their tithe, to use according to their own judgment. They are not to use it for themselves in an emergency, nor to apply it as they see fit, even in what they may regard as the Lord's work. God won't accept any, except it just said to go straight specifically for the wages of the ministers. It's the same thing there. That yellow statement, his people today are to remember that the house of worship is the Lord's property, and that is to be scrupulously cared for. But the funds for this work are not to come from the tithe. Not to come from the tithe. From Pen of Inspiration. Light has been plainly given that those ministers in our schools, teaching the word of God, explaining the scriptures, educating the students in the things of God, should be supported by this tithe money. And that's why it's not only ministers, you know, our staff members in our colleges, in our universities, they receive their pay also from your tithe. We are following the blueprint. We are following what the Pen of Inspiration has given us and the Bible. The tithe is the Lord's, and those who meddle with it will be punished. Wow. Listen to this. And those who meddle with it will be punished with the loss of their heavenly treasure. Wow, this is very strong. unless they repent. Let the word no longer be hedged up, because the tithe has been diverted into various channels other than the one to which the Lord has said it should go. It should go where? To his treasury. For what? Wages of the ministers. The tithe is set apart for the special. The tithe is set apart for a special use. It is not to be regarded as a what? As a poor fund. It is to be especially devoted to the support of those who are bearing God's message to the world. And it should not be diverted from this purpose. The one in green. But you are robbing God every time that you put your hands into the treasury for funds to meet the running expense of the church. Okay, let's go a little bit more. Oh, second tithe. Sorry, I don't have time to go for second tithe. Oh, the deeper meaning of tithe. Heaven is in the business of giving and sharing, for God so loved that he gave. Oh, look at this. How about if you use the tithe? Do you know God, he's an omniscient, omnipotent and omniscient God, omnipresent. He makes provision. He made provision to a situation when you are caught in the corner that what's left over in your wallet is just your tithe, and especially us islanders. And then you have to use your tithe to transport your sick child to the hospital. And how can I compensate for that? The Bible has made provision for that. Moses writes, if a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithe, he should add how much? 1/5. Leviticus 27:31. So if someone mistakenly used the tithe and wants to repay it, he adds 1/5 to it. But for all honesty, do not touch the tithe, for it is the Lord's. Listen to this. Let us not be like Eve, who touches the forbidden fruit and found to be unfaithful steward. But God has made this prior provision. If we use our tithe, you can pay back your tithe plus the compensation, which is 1/5, which is how many percentage? How many percentage? 1/5 is how many percentage? It's 20%. So if you use your $100 as your tithe, if you want to pay back and to compensate for what you have used, you pay back your $100 plus addition of how much? Of $20. Eh? 20% of, oh, what's the 20% of 100? 25. 1/5, okay, $100, that's your tithe, and you use your tithe, $100. And then when you pay, receive your pay, and then you pay back your $100, plus your 1/5, your 20%. So what's a 20% of $100? Eh? How much? 20? Yeah, $20. That means 120. Now, that's how God compensates for situations like that. But it says, don't make it as a habit, because we might be just like Eve, plucking the unforbidden fruit. Next question. I won't take long on this. Can tithe paying save us? Can tithe paying save us? No, Acts 4:12, there's only one name under the sky, on this earth, whereby we can be saved. It is the name of Jesus. We are saved by grace, not saved by paying our tithe. We pay our tithe, that's a way of responding to God's grace, that he has saved us by grace, right? Next question. What if we fail to pay tithe? We are not going to earn eternal life by paying our tithe. That's one way of responding to God's grace. Say, thank you, Lord, for what you have blessed my family, blessed me with. But the question is, what if I fail to pay tithe? Am I going to lose eternal life? Yes or no, church? I want a loud answer. Yes or no? Are we going to lose eternal life if we are unfaithful, not paying our tithe? Yes. The answer is positive, yes. For why? Are we going to save if we do not pay our tithe? Paul, listen to this. Paul lists the sinners that will not be in heaven. It's recorded in 1 Corinthians 6:9-7. And among the list, of those who won't be able to inherit eternal life, that according to Paul's list, the name of the thieves and the robbers are there in his list. And that's what Malachi chapter 10 says. If you are not paying your tithe, you are robbing me. You are robbing me. Man, I have a lot. I have a lot to share. Oh, that's the secret of paying tithe. That's what I meant before. That we are just returning what belongs to God. You know, further on, I just want to conclude there. But further on, you know, Pen of Inspiration said that we ought not to hold those who are not paying tithe, who are unfaithful in paying tithe, we ought not to choose them into office, into church office. They are not qualified to hold church office if they are not paying tithe. Therefore, it is the responsibility of the church pastor in order to make sure there is real revival in the church, to make sure and to help those who are not paying tithe in order for them to enjoy God's blessing of paying tithe. And even for the conferences, Pen of Inspiration said, for the leaders of the conference, they ought not to employ anybody in the conference who is not paying tithe, because they are labeled as robbers. They are labeled as unfaithfulness. I just want to conclude with this story. You know, ever since I married my wife, remember I was praying for my wife. I shared this during Sabbath school. I heard the voice when I saw my wife. That's the right one. And I approached her, and then she accepted my application, and we got married. And then it's my blessing to marry a wife who is so strong and faithful in paying our tithe. And she is still very faithful. And the Lord has blessed her and blessed me through her sometimes. And I remember one time, this is the last story. One time when I was called, I was working as the executive secretary for the Tonga mission. I was called to come to our Trans-Pacific Union mission in Fiji and take up the stewardship and the family departments. And we were using our own car at home. It's a Pajero. And then I wrote over to some of my friends in Fiji, and I said, I need your advice. Shall I bring the car with me, or shall we sell it and bring the money, and then we can buy vehicle in Fiji? And my two friends, without knowing that I have contacted them, they said, it's wise for you to bring your vehicle because it's very expensive here in Fiji to buy a vehicle. And then I followed their instruction. Then I brought my van to Fiji. And so when my van landed in Fiji, I found out the custom duty they charged $16,000 just for the custom duty alone. Incredible. But that's a fact. They charge $16,000. And then I remember, you know, being in partnership with God, you can claim some of the promises. He is in control. And then I came and I asked our executive secretary for the Trans-Pacific Union Mission. I was taking the stewardship and family department. And I said, do you have any friends here? We can go and ask to write a letter and, you know, ask for assistance from the people in the custom department. Look at this tremendous amount they charge for the custom duty for my vehicle. And then we went to the Secretary of the Foreign Affairs, a friend of the Executive Secretary of the Union. And then he wrote a letter, but it did not have any effect on the amount they charge us. And then I remember, man, why do we zigzagging going here and there? Why can't I just claim the promises that God, in partnership with him? And I did that. And there was one Indian guy, and you must forgive me for saying this, but you know, in the Pacific, Indian, they are very stingy with money. And that's why they are rich. And that's why they are rich. And then when I went in, it was an Indian guy. And then I thought, Lord, who cares for the Indian guy? You are in control. You know I don't have enough money. Please take control. And I went and approached him and I said, you know what? I just came from Fiji and then I was working, my wife was working too. But when I accepted the call to come and work here in this office, then my wife has lost her job and she doesn't have any job. I'm the only one working. I don't have that much money to pay for the $16,000. And I kept on praying. I saw this guy calculating, working out, calculating. And then he handed me the little paper, piece of paper. And then he said, can you afford this? 7,000.
on a piece of paper. And then I just had to be careful in the way I shook my head, otherwise it would annoy him. I just said, sorry, sir, I don't have that much money. And then I kept on praying, Lord, please intervene. And I remember I said, Lord, please, can you cut it down to 4,000? That's how I deal with God. But I didn't have that 4,000, to be honest. But I said, Lord, just cut it down to 4,000. I just want to see whether God will intervene and do exactly what I ask him. But I had faith somehow he will. And then I kept on praying. And I know my wife was praying from home and I was praying also. And then kept on calculating. I was asking, Lord, cut it down to 4,000. And that number has been computerized on my mind. And then he handed me the piece of paper. And then he said, can you afford this? It was 3,347, below 4,000. Who am I? Who am I that the Lord could hear my prayers? And he answered instantly like that. And then he said, can you afford this? And honestly, I said, I'll try. I thought to myself, I better finish off there, otherwise he'll get angry and raise the amount again. And I said, I will try. And then he said, do you know, of this amount, the VAT, I don't even know what VAT, but I guess that's tax. The VAT is inclusive. It's 1,000 something, and it is refundable. Wow, yes, wow. God is so awesome. And I have to deduct the 1,000 VAT from the 3,000. And then, do you know how much left for me? It's only a little bit 1,000 over. And then I heard a little voice. Do you know what? You were just fooling me. Why don't you just ask for 500? Why didn't just ask me to bring it down to 500? But I said, Lord, bring it down to 4,000. Then I thought, when I heard that little voice, then I thought I was fooling God. But he was a loving father. He just accepted me just as I was in my mistake. And then I ended up paying 1,000, little over 1,000. From 16,000 to 17,000 to 3,347, just to 1,000 plus. And the Lord said, why didn't you just ask me for 500? God is so awesome, right? Pen of Inspiration said, when we are in partnership with God and you fully trust God when you're in partnership with him and you step forward, when you trust God and you step forward, whatever the result, it will always be very powerful. It will always be very powerful. Poverty or prosperity, it's your choice. Amen.